Year. Topic of this evening's sermon is growing old gracefully. You know, this is a topic that most people don't like to talk about, growing old gracefully. And we, most of the time when we talk about growing old gracefully, it's in terms of looking good and having health when we're older. But we're going to look at it from a spiritual standpoint this evening. Most young people do not think about growing old, which is understandable. When I was younger, I didn't think about it. I thought I'd live forever and be invincible. But it's not true. For they have yet to experience the reality of growing old in the sense of declining in one's physical strength and mental capacity. I've noticed every day of my life that things that used to be simple are getting more difficult every day. For them, getting older has always meant getting better as they draw closer to the peak of their physical maturity. If they are about talk about growing old, it is often with disdain for the way that many people spend their golden years. Discontented with life, set in their ways, bitter towards many people. This has prompted many young people to say, "I will never be like that when I get old." But growing old gracefully, this doesn't happen. Unless one understands and applies certain principles while young, the chance of are great that they will become like the elderly they are quick to despise. Think carefully about this statement. Most people spend half of their life making the second half miserable. How are you going to spend your first half of your life, or will you spend the last half of your life? Will you grow old gracefully? Before we consider the principles conducive to gracefully aging, we need to consider a few things. The first is the possibility of growing old gracefully. Let's look at some illustrations from the Bible that talk about people growing old gracefully. First is Moses. Moses was 120 years old when he died. 120 years old. And in Deuteronomy 34:7, it says his eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abated. Think about being 120 years old and your eyes not dim and your natural force not abated. Throughout Deuteronomy, his speech is filled with vigor. I think we all could wish that that would be us when we get to be in our old age. Next, we're going to talk about Joshua. Joshua, as he addressed the elders of Israel, note his conviction. And most of us know this statement in Joshua 24:15. Joshua says, "Ask you this day who you will serve. But as far as me and my family, we will serve the Lord." How bold a statement is that to be saying to the elders? But even when he was old, he had his conviction. And when we get old, we need to have our conviction and be showing an example. Next is Dorcas. Dorcas, who helped the poor and the widows. You can read about this in Acts the 9th chapter, verses 36 through 39. Are we going to be that way, helping the poor and the widows when we're old? The graceful manner in which Paul faced death in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. You know, Paul has always been one that I admired and respected for the way he conducted himself even to the point of death. And I hope that I can be that graceful when I'm that age. Next is Peter. We're going to talk about Peter. Peter aged gracefully. He became an elder. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 2. This is why that we tell our young people that they need to be working on their lives now so that one day they can be elders when they get older, when they get to be the age. But so often people will mess their lives up when they're younger and don't have the opportunity to be elders because of the condition that their past life was. What about Peter remaining diligent as death approached? 2 Peter 1, 13 through 15. He remained diligent to the very end. He also forgiving towards those who rightly rebuked him. 2 Peter 3, 15 and Galatians 2, 11 talk about this. These are several biblical examples of people growing old gracefully. But it's not enough to see these biblical examples. Next, we're going to talk about illustrating people that are examples that we may have known. One does not need to go to the Bible to find the only examples of people growing old gracefully. I'm sure that we've all known people that grew old gracefully. I have been blessed to know a number of such people in my life, and as I'm sure that a lot of you have. Yes, growing old gracefully is possible. When it occurs, it is beautiful to behold. When grace is joined with wrinkles, it is adorable. There is an unspeakable dawn and happy old age. Unfortunately, too often wrinkles are not joined with grace. How can we who are young live today so that we grow old gracefully and not be pathetic? We're going to speak about that tonight. How can those who are old be graceful in their old age? We're going to speak about that this evening. There are several principles that when applied can ensure that growing old will be a graceful experience. The next thing we're going to talk about this evening is the principles of growing old gracefully. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. This is true in every area of life. For example, in the physical realm, we sow corn, what do you expect to reap? You expect to reap turnip greens? You sow corn, you're going to reap corn. Whatever we sow is what we're going to reap. Take good care of your body and you will enjoy good health. Disregard healthy habits and the body will suffer for it. You know, when I was studying this, I was thinking about a number of people that I've known in my life that I didn't see over a period of time, and because of either drugs or alcohol, I would see them after 5 or 10 years, and they look like they've aged 20, 30 years in just a few years. And it was all because of drugs and alcohol. I've known people that's got on that meth, and 5 or 10 years, they look like they're walking dead, and a lot of them are only in their 30s, but they look like they're 70 years old. They just big around as my little finger. And it's a shame. but it's a disregard for healthy habits. This is especially so in the spiritual realm. If you would, take your Bibles and open them to Job, the fourth chapter. Job, the fourth chapter. I'll be reading verse 8. Job 4, 8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. So if we sow wickedness, what do you expect to reap? We just got through talking about if we sow corn, what are you going to reap? You're going to reap corn. If you sow wickedness, what do you expect to reap? You're going to reap wickedness. It's pretty simple how life works. Much of the bitterness and discontent and anger which characterizes many older people is a result of sowing to the flesh. Note the works of the flesh, the result of sowing to the flesh. You can read about this in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. But then, if you keep on reading there in Galatians, the fifth chapter, in verses 22 through 23, it contrasts the fruit of those who sow to the Spirit. And we as Christians need to be sowing to the Spirit. How much better do you to do as Hosea said? Turn over to Hosea, the 10th chapter, in verse 12. Hosea 10, 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Hosea 10, 12. You know, I was noticing that in this, it's talking about sowing righteousness and reaping mercy. But it talks about breaking up fallow ground. Some of you may know what fallow ground is. Fallow ground is unbroke ground. It's never been broke before. It's like going out here into this lot next door and plowing it up. Anyone that's never plowed unplowed ground don't know what is involved in plowing unplowed ground. It is tough. If you're using a mule and a plow, inevitably you're going to hit one of them roots and it's going to stop on you dead still. I've used tillers to break up. And you're out there just beating yourself to death. Thing just jumping every which way because of the ground. But the more you break it up and the more you work it, the better it gets. After you get it broke up that first year, from then on, it's not hard at all. But it's all about breaking up the ground and getting it ready. Yet the young often say, I want to sow my wild oats while I'm still young. Then what? If they're sowing their wild oats, what are they going to reap? They're going to reap their wild oats, which means there's going to be a crop failure. It's going to be a terrible thing. They fail to realize the harvest of trouble they will reap later in life. Abusing their bodies and their health will be ruined. Engaging in sexual immorality, they will ruin their reputation and make it difficult to have a normal family life and to enjoy it as they ought to. Think about this. We talked about this a while ago. This is part of the reason that so many people, a lot of congregations, have trouble having an eldership because of the way that the people lived when they were younger. Consider the sad irony of it all. Most young people do not realize that the popular lifestyle of doing their own thing or sowing their wild oats, is the very thing that produces the pathetic mental and physical condition found in many old people. It's the way that the old people lived their life when they was younger. So while they condemn the old for the way that they wasted their lives and the way they turned out, they are heading down the same path of corruption. Turn over to Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. To set this up, Jesus has just been to John the Baptist and has been baptized, and he's just went into the wilderness for 40 days and fasted for 40 days, and he was hungry. And Satan came to him and told him, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And here in Matthew 4:4 it says, but he being Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. So think about this for a minute. Let us focus our attention on two words here. The first one is bread. It involves more than just dough. It includes all the things of a material nature. Man doesn't live by bread alone, which is the physical nature, the material nature. The next word we're going to look at is live. This involves more than simple existence. It includes living life in its fullness sense, i.e., the abundance of life. We must realize that one does not find the good life in seeking and acquiring material things. Luke 12:15. Doesn't matter how much material wealth we have on this earth, it's not going to do us any good in the next life. We can't take it with us. You can go down here down the street and get you a U-Haul trailer loaded up with as much stuff as you can carry in it. But you ain't taking it with you when it's all over. It's going to stay here and you're going on. We got to remember that. If we don't learn this while we're young and remember it when we're old, we will waste much of our life pursuing the wrong things and hate ourselves for it when we are facing death's door. Solomon came to this realization in Ecclesiastes 2:17-23. I'm going to be reading only one verse of this, and that's Ecclesiastes 2:20. Ecclesiastes 2:20. And if you remember right, Solomon had many wives and many concubines. And instead of being the man that Solomon should have been and taught them the ways of the one true and living God, he bowed down to him and he said, I will build y'all temples to whatever God y'all worship. But now here in Ecclesiastes 2:20 it says, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. Ecclesiastes 2:20. In other words, he wasted his time on working on things here in this life instead of working on the things in the next life. And guess what's the important one? The next life. There is more to life than material things. To grow old gracefully, we must realize this and find that which makes life full and abundant. Fortunately, Jesus came to help us. John 10:10, it talks about life more abundant. When we have Jesus Christ in our life, we have a life more abundant. Then it says, He is the true and living way in John 14:6. The true and living way. Jesus Christ has been gone for over 2,000 years, but He still is alive today as He ever was. And He is still showing people the way to everlasting life. And it is the Word of God that shows us the way to Christ. John 5:39. This illustrates the truth of Matthew 4:4, which we read just a while ago, that man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, I tell the story about this, and I don't think my preacher back home even knew this story until I was there back in the spring. Some of y'all may know that I lived in my car for a couple of years, was homeless, and was hungry during most of that time, and I'd been days or maybe a week or two without any food, and I was hungry. I knew the church building had a food pantry. I had every intentions of going by there and getting food. But the strangest thing happened when I was sitting there across the desk from him. These words right here in Matthew 4:4 came to me. And I told him, I said, I need to be fed. But I said, I need spiritual food. And He fed me from that day forward, and I've been blessed from that day forward. But I left that day without a lick of physical food. But He fed me spiritually. We need to remember that that is the most important thing. The spiritual food and not the physical food. The Word of God reveals Christ to us, who in turn shows us how to really have life. For He is the life. He being Jesus is the life. We can't live without Jesus Christ, not and have a really abundant and effective life. What a shame to go through life and only to find at last our labors were in vain. They have no lasting value. Luke 9:25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? You know, here in Luke 9:25, most of us are not as familiar with this verse as we are Matthew 16:25. Most of us can quote Matthew 16:25. For what is a man profiteth if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Both of these saying the same thing. Same exact same thing. And what about Luke 12:15-21? It's talking about the rich man's barn. You know, the rich man had got so much food and so much crops, he didn't know what to do. So he tore his barns down and built bigger. Said, now I can eat, drink, and be merry. But little did he know that the Lord was going to require his soul that evening. And he said, now whose is all this going to be? Because it's not going to be yours. You're going to be gone. We need to remember that. Everything that we have is not going to be ours when we're gone. Somebody else is going to own it. Wisdom is important to growing old gracefully. Wisdom is insight, understanding, which enables one to make the best use of his or her talents and circumstances. Avoid the mistakes or pitfalls of life. The value of wisdom is beautifully proclaimed in Proverbs 3:13-18, where it talks about wisdom is better than silver and gold. You know, most people come in here and you have one handful of gold and one handful of silver. And you say, I'll give you your choice, either one of these or I'll give you wisdom. Which one are you going to take? You're usually going to take the silver or the gold. But here's the wisdom right here, and it's the Word of God. Illustrated in Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Walk not as fools, but as wise. How many people in this life want to be called a fool? Most people do everything they can in this life not to be called a fool. But oftentimes the way people act shows that they are a fool. The days are evil and time is short, according to James 4, 13 through 14. And most of us know this scripture too, because it says life is like a vapor which appeareth for a short time and then disappears. Guess what our life is? We could live to be as old as Moses, which is 120 years, and it still be like that vapor. It's just for a little bit of time, and then it's gone. Wisdom helps one to utilize to the fullest what little time we have, instead of wasting our precious time. Wisdom can be acquired in two ways. First is personal experience, which can be very wasteful and time-consuming. You can spend much of your time in trial and error, repeating the same mistake made by others, while you finally gain wisdom. You have not only wasted much time in the trials, you have to bear the consequences of your errors. You reap what you sow. Next, we're going to talk about is God and His Word. Proverbs 2:6. If you would, turn over there with me. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What a better source than from He who by wisdom created the universe. Proverbs 3:19 through 20. You know, we've talked about this before. You know, if you'd have lived 1,000 years ago, you could be one of the smartest people on the face of the earth if you just read your Bible. We were talking the other day about the fact that Christopher Columbus, when he sailed off, they kept saying, well, you're going to sail out there and you're going to drop right off the edge of the earth. Because it's flat. It's flat as can be. But if you'd have read your Bible, you would have known that the earth was a sphere, which would have gave you wisdom. But think about this. Think about all of civilization thought that the earth was flat at that time and that you would sail off the edge. But they got the wisdom from the Word of God. With such wisdom, especially at an early age, our journey through life will be more pleasant and graceful. Proverbs 3:21 through 26. We can get a head start and soon pass those who learn only through trial and error. Psalms 119:97-100. Think about if someone's using trial and error and you've already got the wisdom to surpass them because they're making mistakes. With the wisdom found in God's Word, it is possible to grow old gracefully and be graceful in old age. For in it we learn how to avoid the needless suffering experienced by those repeating the results of learning by trial and error. The true purpose in life is not found in material things of life, but in that which Jesus Christ has to offer. Isn't that the greatest thing on earth? How many times have y'all heard me say that this is the most valuable book in the world? What about our souls? If you added up the worth of all the souls in here, it's worth more than all the gold, silver, and precious stones if you combined all of them in the whole world. We have it right here in this room, the value. To help us apply these principles, here are some practical steps based upon Paul's exhortation to his young preacher Timothy. The last thing we're going to talk about this evening is practice of growing old gracefully. We need to be an example to others. 1 Timothy 4:12. If you would, turn over in your Bibles with me. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and faith and in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12. That's pretty wise words, isn't it? We need to be an example to the believer in all these things. There is no way you can avoid being an example to others. There's no way you can't get out of it. You will either be a good example or you will be an example of what not to be. Choice is yours. Like I said about going to heaven, the choice is yours. You can either be a good example or a bad example. Determined to be an example of those who believe. And this will set you on the right track of one who grew old gracefully. Commit yourself to the Word of God. Now turn over to 1 Timothy 4:13. This is the next verse down. 1 Timothy 4:13. Here Paul tells Timothy, gives him some more advice. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13. So what's he telling him to do? He's basically saying, read your Bible. Study it. Commit yourself to studying and teaching the Word of God to others. This will assure that you have an open line to God's wisdom. So study the Bible daily and share what you learn with others. Cultivate your talents. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. 1 Timothy 4:14. The degree to which you reap will be based upon the ability which you can sow. You know, I've watched people plant seeds in the ground. Sometimes I just shake my head because they're not putting them in the ground right. Sometimes they just sprinkle them on top of the ground when they actually need to stick a hole in the ground and put them in there and cover them up. So we need the ability, and where we get that is through the Word of God. If you want to reap a large harvest of good in this life, develop your talents. Apply diligence to your effort. Now turn over to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, I'll be reading verses 15 and 16. Once again, here is Paul talking to Timothy. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4, 15 through 16. Pretty good advice, don't you think? Growing old gracefully, like many good things, does not happen by accident. It takes a consecrated effort. So be diligent and persevere. It is possible to be triumph over old age, to grow old gracefully. Yes, for I have seen it and happen time and time again. But those of us who are young must realize the experience is reserved for those who follow the wisdom of God. Understand the abundant life is not found in worldly things. Sow in such a way to bear fruit and reap a harvest leading to eternal life. Such a person will be like those described in Psalms 92, 12 through 15. Don't you wish to be like that? By the grace of God, you can. In Christ Jesus, you can become a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Made possible by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, Titus 3:5. The sooner you begin this new life, the less baggage of the old life you will have to contend with, and the more you can do for the Lord. You have the ability to grow old gracefully. I've told you what you must do this evening. If you're above the age of accountability, you've heard the word of the gospel this evening, Mark 16:15. You must believe the gospel. You have to do that or you wouldn't be here. Mark 16:16. Repent of all of your sins, Luke 13:3. Confess Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, Matthew 28:18-20. Be faithful to the end of life, Revelation 2:10. If you do those things, you're already starting to grow old gracefully. If you're a Christian and you hadn't been living a life like a Christian should, you've been abusing this body, you can ask for the prayers of the congregation. You'd be surprised what prayers will do. If we can help you any way spiritually this evening, please come as we stand and as we sing.